Welcome to Deep Dive Genre. Alireza Gulafshan was born in Tehran, Iran in 1986. His family emigrated to Germany in 1998. He first studied philosophy and art history in Munich, and in 2008, he successfully applied to the HFF. While there, he realized several short feature films. His 45-minute film, Behinderte Ausländer, eventually evolved into Alireza's feature-length debut, the tragic comedy Die Goldfische. At the Bavarian Film Awards 2020, he received the Nachwuchspreis for his film. Alireza's second feature film, JGA, Jasmin, Gina, Anna, is about the three last remaining singles in a clique of friends and their fear of loneliness. In his third feature, 50-50, for which he received the Bayerischer Filmpreis Director's Award, was released in 2024. We talked to Alireza via video call for this interview. Alireza, welcome to Deep Dive Genre.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today. Again, as I might say so.
Of course, it's a pleasure.
Alice 50-50, your third fictional feature film and third comedy, was released this August. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey to becoming a director?
Well, I discovered filmmaking in school somewhat by accident. We had to do a presentation and wanted to avoid the typical classroom speech. Mm-hmm. And we asked our teacher if we could make a short film. Back then, digital cameras were rare, but a friend's mother had just bought one, a quite expensive one, and we just wanted to experiment with it, and that's how we kind of fell in love with filmmaking, especially in editing. You know, the magic of creating stories through editing was kind of new to me, to have, you know, mm-hmm. just glue two images together and create a third one in the mind of an audience was like magic back then. And we, you know, continued making really, you know, short films with no story, just out of fun. And at some point I decided to study it. And my plan B was studying philosophy, which I actually started mm-hmm. because, as you know, it's not so easy to get into film schools and yes. you can't really plan it. So I even started philosophy and art history for 2 years in Hamburg. And when I got accepted in Munich for the film university here, I dropped philosophy with some little regrets, but no, I'm pretty glad that I'm into filmmaking now.
Yeah. And how do you choose your stories or commit to a project?
Well, I mean, so far I've only worked on projects that I've written myself or co-written with others. You know, the start of a story always comes from a sense of wonder, I would say. When I, you know, encounter something that makes me curious or makes me question things or raises questions, especially about characters or people,
yeah,
it grabs my attention or sparks some interest. For example, when someone says something peculiar at dinner that catches my attention, you know, I start to wonder about their inner world. I think, you know, it's really about understanding, or, you know, I think art in general is about exploring different perspectives. And if a perspective is interesting enough to invest a few years into writing, producing, and directing, I start by writing a few pages. Mm-hmm. And if the initial question or moment of wonder seems big enough to sustain for a 2-hour feature film, mm-hmm. I think that's when I commit to the project. You know, I need to feel that there's something human at its core with my second feature, JGA or JGA, which is about a bachelorette party. Was the initial idea was just making a bachelorette party comedy didn't excite me until I had this image of three women sitting in a kebab döner shop with tzatziki in the corner of their mouth, contemplating about their supposed tragedies after a failed bachelorette party. And mm-hmm. suddenly I saw the tragedy behind the comedy. From then on, I kind of followed the characters, really.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned in an interview that you grew up with sitcoms and the Naked Gun films, as well as classic comedy films by Billy Wilder and Lubitsch. Can you tell us what you like about the comedic genre?
Yeah, I mean, there is a quote, I don't know who said it, probably Mark Twain, someone like that, is that when something's funny, search it carefully for a hidden truth. And I mm-hmm. think comedy is the best genre to truly showcase human nature. and characters. And the closer we look at human behavior, the funnier it becomes.
Mm-hmm.
I often feel that when I write more dramatic material, which I'm doing at the moment, I have to hold back on the humorous observations I make. For example, I'm currently writing a legal thriller, and I've done a lot of research in courts here in Munich. I must admit, I've seen incredibly funny things, but I feel they don't fit in that genre. And I was thinking maybe I should do another comedy for the next project, because you know, when you look at humans, our behavior is often very funny. And these humorous moments, I think, provide insights into the, you know, who we truly are. And that's what I appreciate about comedy.
Yeah. Comedy is often, I think, also poo-pooed as an easy genre. I think it's actually quite hard to find the right tone and humor, because humor tends to be quite specific. And I was wondering how hard it is for you to keep the balance also between specificity and universality, like in trying to reach or appeal as many viewers as possible, but stay true to the story.
I mean, yes, comedy is definitely one of the hardest genres. I think the only genre that might be more difficult is action comedy, because you have to be great in comedy and action. I think it's like even harder. But yeah, you know, for me, mainstream comedy means creating jokes that are relatable without requiring too much background knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the setup needs to be accessible to a wide audience, you know, because it's really easy to make jokes with your buddies, within your own bubble, you know, because the setup's already there. You just have sometimes to point in someone, and you know, if you're best friends with someone, you both laugh. You know, in closer circles, you don't need the setup, and the wider your audience gets, the more difficult it is to incorporate that joke setup into the movie. That's probably the hardest part or biggest misconception in comedy, is that it's more about the joke itself, but it's really about the common ground that you have to create first.
Yeah.
And I think many American comedies are very successful at this and are, you know, therefore quite successful also internationally.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, you know, it's getting rarer, because even the American industry doesn't make comedies that much anymore, because they're getting more independent on Asian market, the Chinese market, for example, and you know, comedies don't travel that well. You know, its action is probably simpler.
Yeah, that's true. And you mentioned that you write all the scripts for your films yourself. And is there ever a conflict between the writer you and the director you?
Yes, definitely. I mean, but it depends on how the project starts. For example, for my first feature film, The Goldfish, or the Goldfischer, I was initially hired to write the screenplay, not knowing that I'd later direct it.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I was still in film school with no feature film directing experience whatsoever, so especially not a big-budget German film like The Goldfish. So writing the script without worrying about who would direct it gave me a freedom I hadn't experienced before. I didn't think about production constraints or how cast or tone the film, whatever, you know, which allowed me to be very creative somehow. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really care that much how it's going to be executed in the next step. So a year later, the production company, you know, particularly Justina Misch, the producer, she really liked the screenplay and wanted me to direct it. I had to read my own script now with the director's eye. That was a challenge, because when I realized I was going to direct it, I might have been more cautious with some scenes or even comedic tones or like, I don't know, puns that are in it, because even subconsciously, maybe you're afraid of some pieces that you write. After that, it's hard to say. After that, the projects I did, I always knew that I'm going to be a director.
Mm-hmm.
Probably I'll never be that as free as I was for this first project with the special circumstances.
I know the next question is a bit of a tough question. Your three feature films, they're all comedies, but obviously every film is a little bit different. I was wondering if you could sum up each film. I have here 3 to 5 words, but obviously it can be more. But the story was that you wanted to tell, because I'm wondering if maybe they do have something in common after all.
Oh, well, that's a tough one. I mean, you mean...
No.
The theme or the subject matter or
the theme, I think, might be.
The first feature I made was called The Goldfish, about this banker guy who lands in a wheelchair and still is worried about how to launder his money from Swiss to Germany. So it's really about an inner flight, I would say, someone who's fleeing something someone who's really afraid of sitting in a wheelchair or getting stuck, and someone who's always thinking of success.
Yeah,
I would say probably the subject matter poster would be success versus true connection, something like that.
And yeah.
What interested me most about, I mean, the initial idea was from Justina back then, was assigned to it. But what I liked about it was the perspective of outsiders.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, I mean, I had some connections through my father to people with disability, but I think my background as someone who migrated to Germany and always kind of felt as, you know, had a special place as an outsider in society, I could really connect to.
Yeah.
To that subject. I think the second one also deals somehow with outsiders. In my way, I was in my 30s, and of course, the biggest thing was, are you married? Are you having kids? Yeah. Or are you still single? And those singles around me, and I was actually myself not really part of them, but.
Yeah, it's a loaded question.
with being, you know, outside, being outsiders. But, you know, this film in three words would be, I don't know, also about friendship versus relationship, I'd say.
Yeah.
And the last one is more about family and also connection and honesty. Everything's 50-50 is about family cannot really exist or work without honesty and self-awareness in a critical way.
So connection, family, maybe chosen, maybe official. Okay.
Yeah, it's all about groups and family is definitely probably, now that you say it, is a theme. Running through.
I mean, you've already talked a little bit about your films. Do you have favorite scenes from each movie or from one of the movies that you say that was like particularly great to write or maybe hard to write or fun to film?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, I would start with the goldfish, because when you say fun to film, I think that the climax in the I think right before the third act is in this park where Oliver, the main character, loses all his money that is attached to this other artistic guy that's on the right, very up high, 100 meters high, and the money is spread all over the park, and it was really new. So I was pretty nervous before that, but when we were actually shooting it during a couple of days in that park, it was great. We had three cameras and some more teams, and we were doing also different shots at the same time. So there was not really the standing still situation that is quite common on sets, that you have to wait for a next setup. So I was running from camera to the camera, and I was running hot kind of. And yeah, what I remember is the prop money was a problem, because there are strict regulations in German systems. You can't just print fake money.
Yeah, because of counterfeit money and
For close-ups, we needed real euro banknotes, and an intern was in charge of them, guarding them like a security officer. And he had 20,000 euros on him, and that was his only job. So whenever we needed a close-up of money, we called him over, and you know, very. As an intern, he had a very special place on set suddenly, because he was the guy with the 20. Yeah,
the guy with a very important job.
The next film I did, the Bachelorette story, there's a scene with a stripper who's stripping in a playground because the girls don't have a hotel room because it was canceled for some reason. And I mean, I have imagined it to be okay funny when I wrote it, but the guy who did this scene was so brilliant and so funny. I was ruining all the takes because I laughed so much during that scene. And this is, I mean, some people ask me, when you do comedies, do you laugh at your own stuff? Mm-hmm. And it's more when I laugh when I didn't expect it to be that funny. And this is one of those scenes that were really, really funny to film. And they nearly got rid of me, so I wouldn't ruin the sound. And there's also on my last film, Everything's 50-50, quite the opposite, because there is a scene that is for the audience probably the funniest scene when you just listen to them in test screenings. And but for me, it was more like a math calculation. Neither during writing nor filming nor editing, I was really laughing, but I knew, you know, like a mathematician, you know, it has to be funny at the end, because the setup is right, everything else is right. And it was, it's the biggest laugh and the test screening we did. So it's weird for me to make something that make other people laugh, which I myself maybe don't necessarily find funny.
Obviously, because you're also writing the scripts, but either way, making of a feature film takes up several years. How hard is it for you to say goodbye to the characters and the story that you spend so much time with and to let them out into the world?
Well, I say goodbye to the characters before shooting. And okay. That's a moment when I hand them over to the cast, really. The characters as I've imagined them on paper. And yeah, it's a really weird, sometimes hybrid thing in casting when you see them. Some parts of the characters you're seeing is the person that's acting it and mm-hmm. the personality they bring with. And some part is the stuff you wrote. But really, it's this moment when I say, okay, this is your character now. So this is the first step of saying goodbye to characters, handing mm-hmm. them over to the talented actor or actress.
Yeah.
And after that, I'm so much involved in the process of filmmaking that I really don't see the film myself in the sense that I'm enjoying the story, because I'm pulling the strings, you know, mm-hmm. I'm not in the audience. And I've watched The Goldfish really for the first time a couple of months ago as a film, because not as a project. Mm-hmm. And it was, mm-hmm. like, I don't know, it was released 5 years ago. And with that distance, I think I could really sit down and watch, even appreciate more what my cast was doing back then. Yeah. Now that I saw it as a more or less, you know, just some guy watching a movie.
Yeah, not as a job, but yeah, you could enjoy it. And you recently started your own production company, Story Garden. Yeah. Two partners. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Can you tell us a bit about your plans and projects, or is it too early for that?
We founded the Story Garden just a month ago or so, mm-hmm. 2 months ago. But the core idea behind our production company is to focus on storytelling, not on format, because mm-hmm. I don't know if we're going to, in 10 years, be all watching, you know, through VR glasses or mm-hmm. phones or bigger screens whatsoever. But I think what will stay is good stories and a sense for good stories. And that's our main focus. You know, when you start a project in a studio system, they have to already know how to market it. So they need to know what the story is going to be at the end mm-hmm. and before you've really delved into, you know, developing the story. And there are some ideas that I had or still have that are more an often journey or exploration in the development. And mm-hmm. I think one of the best, you know, films that are made is, you know, started as a journey for a writer or director that, at the point where they didn't know what it's going to be at the end. Mm-hmm. And this kind of projects don't have a place in the studio system. And I think we're trying to build a bridge for the studio films that we used to make, and also newer ideas and storytelling focus and genres or formats or whatsoever that need more care and time in developing.
Okay. Now, I have a few rapid fire questions for you at the end. You just mentioned that you're writing on a new project, but I was wondering, is there maybe a particular story that you would still like to tell? Maybe not as your next film, but at some point in the future?
I've done comedy so far, but what I enjoy most reading, at least, is science fiction, especially mm-hmm. Stanislav Lem.
Yeah.
The story. So there are lots of them, and some of them have been made into features, but maybe at some point, a book by Stanislav Lem that would be really, really great.
Yeah. I just talked to Christian Friedel, the actor, recently, and he's doing play mm-hmm. with music for the theater in Frankfurt for the Stanislav Lem play.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I think that's
going to call him up.
Yeah, in April at some point, I think, next year. What would you say is the biggest misconception about the work of a director and or writer?
The biggest misconception in art general, I would say, mm-hmm. is that art must come from a place of suffering. I think that can sometimes be true. You know, art is also part of our society and should be compensated. And compensation shouldn't just be about healing your own wounds, mm-hmm. you know, it should be also monetary in some way, and you can create art from a place of joy or with a professional attitude. And
yeah.
I think that's a misconception from a lot of people, also politicians, looking at our industry and thinking, yeah, they kind of artists doing this for themselves, or because they're just suffering and need to write it down or whatsoever. I think it's a I think that's probably the biggest misconception, mm-hmm. but not only in writing and directing, in art generally, I think.
Okay. And you're at your third feature, and obviously, you studied at the HFF. Have you encountered like a change, either external or internal, as in how you approach the work in regards to directing or maybe writing in the course of the years that you've been in the business?
Definitely. I think the biggest lesson is not to take yourself seriously mm-hmm. or too serious, because when I was in film school, I actually, saw myself, or everyone saw themselves as a serious filmmaker, because, we got accepted at the big university of film television, and we all were watching like Ingmar Bergman's and Haneke's and Antonioni's and stuff like that, because that's part of art history. They don't show you sitcoms and Naked Guns, but obviously, but what you think you should do when you get into film school. And at that time, comedy was almost completely neglected at the curriculum, which was part of my upbringing, really.
Yeah.
And I found the way back to the Coen brothers. And I think what I really admire about them is that they really don't take anything serious and become more relaxed about everything. There's still some room and for evolving into that direction. But I think that's what's changed.
Yeah. And finally, you mentioned your courtroom drama film script. Is there a little bit more you can tell us about this project?
Well, not so much. I'm working on a second draft and at the same time doing castings already. And we hope to be able to shoot it next year in Munich. And it's a courtroom drama or thriller about the liability of artificial intelligence in general.
Interesting.
I could say, well, yeah, it's very challenging. It was really challenging writing it, because it's really, really research heavy.
Mm-hmm. Well, plus there's a lot of changes all the time in that field, I would imagine. So you might have to update or go back.
That's true. Yeah, actually, it started by a couple of years ago. The initial idea was this new future sci-fi, which is not anymore, really. it's quite more or less. But that's what I'm working.
And that was it. Thank you so much for sitting down with us today, Alireza.
Thank you. It was great. Thank you very much.
Deep Dive Genre is produced by German Films, the National Information and Advisory Center for the Promotion of German Films Worldwide. To find out more about our guests, check out the links in our show notes. To stay up to date with our episodes, subscribe wherever you find your podcasts.